Baltimore.
Frank at it. Grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. Wow. Thank you. I knew you was nervous, and I can relate to that. You know what I mean? It never fails, like, you know, to get here and have, you know, I don't even try to plan nothing anymore. I never remembered the stuff I thought I was going to say. You know what I mean? So, but I just, you know, just to be here, man. Like, I've been coming to this convention a long time. I remember when, like, you could park on Saturday night. And there's some other people here that remember that, too. And, you know, you can't even get a spot on Friday morning, right? And that says something about what we're doing in Narcotics Anonymous. That means that it's more addicts seeking recovery than it was when I got clean. And that means something to me. I'm real grateful, man. I appreciate the Chesapeake Potomac region, you know, this convention. Everybody that's serving, putting this on. I mean, it takes a lot. This is huge, man. And, you know, I'm really grateful for that. So, like, every person that's hugging, every person that's just doing anything, like, I'm trying to make sure that my gratitude speaks through my actions, and I'm embracing them and just telling them thank you, man, because I didn't have to be here. You know, I can't say I shouldn't have been here. I don't know if I should. I'm here, so I'm here, right? You know, some people say I shouldn't be here. Well, I'm here. I died, you know. I got brought back to life as a result of putting that shit in me. You know what I mean? And I don't know how that happened. I don't know how I came up out of my grandmother's basement and sat down and poured a glass of milk, and then the milk bust on the floor. My grandmother heard the milk bust. She didn't know what to do. She ran out front, and it happened to be a dude that I shot dope with walking up the street that was a friend of mine that, you know, knew what to do, right? That, look, I could have stayed down in that basement. I don't know how I put that shit in me in an abandoned house in West Baltimore, stumbled out and fell out in the middle of the street and not in that house. Because there's a whole lot of addicts right now that's dying from the horrors of addiction. It's a whole lot of addicts that I know that I've been to a lot of funerals, man. That's a whole lot of addicts that had an opportunity at this at Narcotics Anonymous, and they're not here. They won't get this chance again. So for me, man, I know that just means that I got to put a little bit more into this. That I can't just sit around. I was blessed with the opportunity, man, to do step work on the beach this morning with my sponsor. I was blessed with the opportunity to be told some things about myself that I didn't want to hear. But the willingness, right, that I know I need to have and maintain and keep to stay in this process, you know, I just sat there and listened, man. Because I've had the opportunity to sponsor men myself and to be in that journey. And me and my sponsor was talking, and I was like, dude, I need this so much. I ain't did no step work for 9 months. Let me get honest. I haven't talked to, you know, I haven't sat with my sponsor for 9 months. This was the first time we sat down. And I just appreciate that relationship, man. Because I need that. The heartbeat of Narcotics Anonymous. The topic was who, what is it, how, and why? It's a when I first got the topic, it was like they must be giving me like 3 hours to share or something. That's like 5 different meetings or something. But that just goes to show you, as cocky as I am, as much as I think I know about recovery, that's IP number one, dummy. That's IP number one. You know, and all it is a recital of those readings, you know. And I'm so grateful for this process, man, for these readings. Who's an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. I didn't always know. It was a time when I wasn't sure. It was a time when I didn't believe I needed any kind of fellowship. My first introduction to Narcotics Anonymous was a court order. You know, because I got caught. I wasn't ready to stop. I wasn't ready to surrender. I wasn't even ready for resignation. I wasn't ready for shit. The system caught me, and they told me that I had a problem. And this is the process, right, of recovery for me. This is how it worked. And they said, you know what? You're giving us dirty urines while you're on probation. You need to go to this place and get some help. And it wasn't this place. It was another place that offers help. So I went there, and I was ready to do my intake. And they was like, we're a little backed up. Can you go have a seat in the NA meeting? We'll come out and get you when we're ready. They had a meeting in the facility. And I went out there, and I sat down, and y'all was reading the readings. And I heard something about, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives have become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves would restore us to, or could restore us to sanity. And I was like, man, this shit is nuts. I ain't fucking with this. And I walked the hell out of that institution, and they caught me when they caught me. And that's my story. Catch me when you can, when I use. I ain't surrendering. I ain't giving up. I ain't giving in. I know I'm going to have A, B, C, D consequences. I'm still willing to accept it. I know now that that's insanity, right? Talks about, no, for real, like, it defines it in our second step. Repeating the same mistakes, expecting different results. Repeating the same mistakes in the step working God, knowing what the results are going to be, but doing the shit anyway. And like, hey, guess what? I'm willing to pay the piper, man. Because getting one more is way more important than me getting in any process of stopping. I had no clue. The second time around, I came through via way of treatment. The treatment made us go to meetings every day. When I got like 30 days in the treatment, they said, you're ready for a weekend pass. Alright, so what do? I ain't learned nothing in recovery. Didn't learn nothing in recovery. Man, look, I was just trying to, like, get the people off my back, man. You know what I mean? I wasn't willing to surrender yet, once again. So, they say, when you get the weekend pass, you know, you come back, we're going to piss you this, that, and the other. I said, all right, they're going to piss me. Well, you know what? I'll just drink then. You know? So, I was going to my father's every weekend, and I was drinking, and I was going to NA meetings, and I was claiming clean time. Because, It, as crazy as this sounds, I did not hear that alcohol is a drug in the reading. I'm dead serious. Like, I'm not bullshitting you, though. Like, I did not hear that shit. Because my focus was that I had a heroin problem. I didn't think I had an addiction problem. The problem was the drug. It couldn't have been nothing to do with me. How I was going to stop, that's the part I couldn't figure out yet. But the drug was the problem, right? So I was about to pick a 90-day key tag up, still drinking on the weekends, and I heard that shit. We cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is the drug. And like, everything that I had going on, they pulled the bottom out from that shit. The plan I had failed once again. I don't know if you can relate to this shit, man, but like, you know, I always had a plan. Well, the shit failed. They pulled the bottom straight out, man. And of course, what the disease say? Boy, fuck this shit. Go get one. You know what you want. Come on, stop playing with this shit, drinking on the weekend. I was off to the races again, and they put me in the institutions like they always did. It was always them. It was their fault. It wasn't me. It wasn't me making a decision to use. It was them. But one thing about getting that introduction, man. One thing about getting that little, you know, introduction to this program was like, I seen people smiling. I would hug people and shit. Most of you females. I'm going to keep it real. But like, yeah, for real. That shit was like a shot of hope for me. I'm by myself on this. Just to feel the warmth, that, you know. And I'm like sick with it. You just give me a hug, but I'm all fucked up. She likes me. She wants me, you know. But to just, look, to get any type of shot of hope, newcomer, where you at, man? To get any type of shot of whatever it is that gets you coming back. Right? Because, look, I wasn't trying to hear shit about no steps or none of that at that time. You know, I could care less about steps at that point in my life. But it was about what was going on in fellowship. You know, we talk about the love of the fellowship and stuff. And I was feeling the energy despite what I wanted to feel. Y'all was touching me even though I didn't know it. So, you know, I got that little glimpse. I got just that little peek at what could be. Just maybe, but I didn't think I could do it. Really, I wasn't ready to stop. So I went back out and got what I got once again. You know, another institution. Came back, got some clean time, man. Plugged in. You know, it was a guy named Billy, man, from West Baltimore, man. He had some houses, recovery houses. Houses don't recover, I know. People recover. But, like, he pulled me in, man, and it was like 20 of us, man. And, like, we just plugged in, man. We went to Christian Street every day, man. We went to meets 2-3 times a day. It was hardcore recovery. You shut the fuck up. You sat in the front. You didn't talk if you didn't have... if you didn't know nothing about the topic, you didn't share. You know? And nobody cared about how you felt about what was said to you. Oh, he's going to go use because he got his feelings hurt. Well, he ain't ready then. Because you're going to get your feelings hurt in this recovery process anyway. So you might as well learn how to get them hurt from the beginning. No, I don't know if what we're talking about is working because there's still a lot of addicts dying to come through here. Oh, you're gonna hurt their feelings, you know, and you gotta do it in a loving and caring way and shit. Like, I don't know. I just like the hardcore recovery myself. Man, don't sugarcoat me to the grave. So like. That's real, man. So, like, I got the girl, y'all. Need I say any more? I got the girl. I thought it was love because I didn't know the difference between love and lust. I didn't. Like, look. I think I was, let me see. I was like 27, 28 years old. Really never had no relationship that wasn't centered around drugs in my life. So here I am clean. She comes into me. She got blonde hair, blue eyes, about 5'6", nice, you know, nice buttocks, you know, all that shit. And I'm like, you know the glimmer? You know the sparkle in your eye and the sparkle in her eye meeting? You know, that's recovery, right? And like, we just went at it. And like, I didn't know the difference between love and lust. And when the euphoria ran off, third step, and I saw the ugly side of addiction which was my inability to deal with me without taking something outside of me to validate me. See, I wasn't able to do that at that time. So when the euphoria wore off, man, and I was stuck with me, and like, you know, yeah, we're trying to fix with sex, but it ain't working like it used to. And now we start arguing all the time. And like, I remember she threw a Timberland and hit me in my damn head with that shit. And I wanted to kill her and shit, man. Like, a brand new Timberland too. Like, the soul was hard as shit, man. Left with like a little scar on my head and shit. And I grabbed her by her neck and I was ready to choke her. And there's a dude named Kevin. He's still clean. He lived underneath us. We lived in West Baltimore and he was in recovery. And he used to save us so many times. Bang on it. Open the damn door! You know? And he'd open the door and the police would come and I never got locked up, thank God. It was always crazy though. You know, so going through that, right? I used to always blame her. It was always her fault. You know? Man, she's crazy as hell. And then one day somebody said to me, dude, what are you if you're still with her? If she's so crazy and you're still with her, what are you? Right? So like, man, I tell you, man. I remember leaving out the gate, a meeting on Christian Street, 7 a.m., and going and try to cop. And I remember pulling up to a guy, man, and he was an old dope fiend and knew my father. And I was like, Mike, I want to get one. And he just looked at me. He's like, sometimes you get the message from the addict it's using, man. He was like, Frank, why? He was like, why? I said, Mike, come on, man. Just go get me one, Mike. Because I didn't want nobody to see me copping, you know. And he wouldn't do it, you know. But I did use. And like they put an APB out on me, man. They was chasing me through the woods, trying to get me. You know, they was going to stop me. We can be beaten over, counseled, you know, all that shit. Well, you can't stop an addict when they ain't ready to stop. You know, and I just, you know, I just went hard, man. I had a car, dude. When they locked me up, I had warrants in like 5 different jurisdictions. It took me like 1.5 years to make it to DOC and shit. And I remember being in an institution, right? And there was a guy in there. He's here now, man. And like, you know, I had the knowledge of Narcotics Anonymous. I had gotten almost 2 years clean, right? And I'm sitting in these institutions. Yo, have you ever relapsed with some recovery, right? Because I had some recovery at that time. I might not have had the level of recovery I do now, but I did get a real strong taste of this thing, man. And I'm sitting in this institution, man, and I know there's a better way of life. I know there's a better way of life, man. You know, and I'm beating myself up every day, and all I can do is say to myself, yo, just one day at a time, Frank. Because they're using on the tier. You know, and dude, my boy, man, he was like, you know, he was loud. He still is, you know what I mean? But he was one of them guys. And I remember one day, like, we was in the shower, man. And talk about getting butt naked. I mean, we was literally butt naked, right? And he's like, so, yo, what's your story? Because he was, you know, selling the treetop tall shit. And I don't know if that was his story or not. But, like, for me, I was like, bro, I was a rustler. I wasn't a hustler, man. Like, my game was gone. It's been gone for years, man. You know what I mean? I was out there trying to get well 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, I should have been stopped using. You know? I didn't make the surrender that was needed. And, you know, and he just looked at me, right? Next time I seen him again, Christian Street, man. And we hugged each other, man. Our relationship been real good since then. You know? Who, what, how, and why? Mm-hmm. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? It's a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. See, I need direction. You know, it says the steps are a solution, they're a survival kit. This is one of my favorite readings out of the literature. And I got to revert to the literature because it gives me a basis, man. You know, if not, I'm just getting information from you secondhand, and I'm not able really to form my own opinion based on how this program was written. You know, but it says, check this out. As a result of attending a few meetings, we begin to feel like we finally belong somewhere. It is in these meetings that we are introduced to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to introduce you to the 12 steps, man. I want you to know that there's a proven way. That it's a way that you can work, you can learn how to work a program through sponsorship and never have to use again. And get into the reason of why did Frank continue to use? See, because sometimes people aren't introduced to the steps in the meetings. It's all about, you know, the bitching, the complaining, right? You know, just yeah. And I guess that's cool and all, but the traditions say that if I'm going to share the problem, it's very important to come back and share the solution to that problem, to let people know that I was able to get out of that. We learn to work the steps in the order they are written and to use them on a daily basis. See, that's real important because I'm going to tell you, when I got clean, I wanted to work a 9-step before I worked the first step. Because I thought that the 9-step meant that you would forgive me. I didn't know that it was about the behavioral process of making amends. I thought it was about you saying, it's okay, you're good. And then as the phony, shallow, fake-ass dude that I was, as long as you told me that, that means I could try to manipulate you again. There was no change of the heart. The condition of the heart wasn't going to change at that point. So I needed a 9-step before the first step, the minus 1-step, you know, just to make me feel better. And that ain't what it's about. It says the steps are a solution, man. Listen to the terminology. They are our survival kit. They are our defense against addiction, which is a deadly disease. So I need a solution, a survival kit, and a defense. Can you relate to that, man? Because I could not stop using. I could not figure out how to not put one more in me. I could not figure out how to not go back to Pratt Monroe just when I got out of prison just to show everybody, like, look at me, I'm big and shit. Because Because it was all about everything superficial. I ain't gotten into the exact nature. I didn't understand that as a little boy, man, I always felt less than. You know, and I always needed to be validated by something outside of me. And I sought that. You know, it started with like jokes and shit. It started with sports before the drug. You know, we used to stand on the corner and crack jokes and all that stuff, man. And we would cut each other to the core. You know, and whoever went home lost. You know, and then there's only two of us left out there, right? And the other guy goes home, and I won. But I was there by myself, so did I really win? Because the thing that I was trying to get away from was still there, sitting right there with me. Talks about in the first step, man, they deem it as a spiritual void. And it works how and why. You know, the thing that's always inside me, that even while I'm sharing, you tell me, Frank, you ain't saying shit, man. The fuck are you even doing up here, Frank? This disease talks to me in my own voice while I'm talking. That's how cunning this damn thing is. Our steps are the principles that make our recovery possible. So I need this program, man. Why are we here? We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. You know, I'm learning how to forgive myself today, man. You know, and I ain't on the way there, because like we was doing step work this morning, right? And identifying some stuff. Look, 16 years later, it ain't about the drug. My first step wasn't about, like, I just, you know, got done using drugs. But it was about sometimes the negative sense of self that I suffer from. You know? And like, I don't know, man, just to sit there and talk about that and identify and know that other addicts can relate to where I'm coming from, man. Check this one out. Through our inability to accept responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Man, look, 2 years ago, my wife moved to Tennessee, and my life became very unmanageable. And I wasn't using drugs. I got caught up in lust. I got caught up in the getting and using and finding ways and means to use, to get one more, and it had nothing to do with a drug, man. But I was still trying to fill the same void that I tried to fill with the drugs. And I found myself isolated, like in my bedroom, man. I had sponsees moving on. They were like, dude, what's going on with you? And I'm wearing a mask, like everything's cool, I'm good. You know, but when we're doing step work, there's no spiritual connection. I can't fake spirituality. I can't fake freedom, man. I can't fake freedom. The blessing that I get from this program, I can't fake that. So I'm trying to be the NA parakeet at meetings. It works if you work it. Get a sponsor, work your steps. Don't use no matter what. Go to meetings, pray, do 99 and get a service commitment. And all this shit, I'm trying to like outshare my disease. Because if I think that if you believe me, once again, I can tell myself I'm okay. This ain't a program of getting validated from you as much as it is of getting validated from me and God. So he laid it down. He was like, dude, you're bullshitting. And, you know, you can use, and sometimes, like, you think you're getting away with some shit and you don't get caught. So, like, I had two phones. If anybody got two phones, you know, come on. Let that one go. I went down to visit. Deleted the damn phone clear, man. Took everything out the phone, so I thought. Well, my wife, being the super detective ass addict she is, went into the deleted file section that I didn't even know fucking existed. So she found a bunch of damn pictures, right? And, that might...
God damn.
Ooh. Yeah, that's about how it felt, how y'all just, yeah. We were in this store and shit, man, and like, and she's like, she's acting crazy, and I'm like, what's wrong? you know? And she's like, I don't want to talk to you. And I'm like, why? What'd I do? You know, all that good-ass bullshit, right? I love you, baby. I love you. I love you. What do you want? Let me buy you something? You know, just... And man, she was just, like, you know, when they're mad, they're mad. That's how mad she was. And, like, all hell broke loose, man. Yo, shit went wild on social media. She told me leave. Came back up. I seen a picture of her. Well, one of my friends came and woke me up one day. He's like, yo, did you see that picture on Facebook of you and your wife? No, what picture, man? I had done deleted Facebook because she wouldn't let me harass her no more. She blocked my ass and shit. I couldn't see what she was doing. And it's this picture of like her and this guy. Yo, dude, look cool as a motherfucker. I'm like, what the fuck? That went, my whole heart just dropped down in my stomach. It hurt. I mean, it hurt, man. I mean, it hurt. Like, it hurt so bad, like, it wouldn't stop hurting. I don't know if you ever had that kind of hurt, right? Where you can talk, you can share, people can support you, and, you know, I had some dudes validating me. Some was just like, yo, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just here for you, man. And like, and I wasn't comfortable talking to a lot of people because, you know, I just, I don't know, man. And it hurt, man. And so I we started to reconcile after a couple months, and I started visiting, man. And then, like, she was using, man. And like, we had the same amount of clean time. And I went down there, man, and like, so we reconciled, right? And this is how shallow I can still be. The sex was like on another level. And I was like, damn, she misses me. She fucking misses me, man. And I'm the man, you know. Right? I didn't even put two and two together that she was like under the influence and shit. You know, and you know, when somebody gets under the influence, they may do things that they may normally not do and shit. My disease is so cunning. No, I thought it was like, I'm Superman, I'm super pimp, I'm super ho, and I'm all that, right? Because I still believe this shit, man. And when you're blinded, that's why it says we need our NA friends. It says you can't spot self-deception by yourself. You know what I mean? I'm big at self-deception. As long as I can make it okay, it's good. I don't care what you can see. Sponge was telling me this morning, yo. He's like, yo, you got this wall up that people can see in, and you ain't seeing, man. You know what I mean? But you know. I'm like, man, shit. I'm looking at this dude like, yo, you're good, man. You're good. You don't got to say nothing else. He just gave me like 3-4 truths at one time. Like, slow the roll here. That's what happens when you don't do step work for 9 months. And like, you know, she had got clean, she used again, she got clean, she used again. And it's hard to talk about this, man, because like, I don't know, man. You know, I feel like, is this everybody's business? But it's like, it's what's going on, man. And it's hard to like sit up here and try to carry the message and be honest, but be holding something back and not be talking about some shit that's right there on you. You know? Yeah, you would. Don't nobody buy this CD. All right, let's shut that shit up. So, I've been praying, you know, for some clarity because I know I can't stay around this. And I got people telling me, like, if you stay with her, you're going to use. And I'm looking at the source, and I'm like, well, you ain't even been in a relationship for more than a year or some shit like that. I'm thinking to myself, right? And you get all these opinions and shit in Narcotics Anonymous sometimes. I don't need your opinion. I need your experience, strength, and hope. So if you ain't had a wife that was using, don't tell me what I need to do. Because you're just guessing. And I need to make a critical fucking decision in my life. I'm not drug proof, man. So like, I'm praying and I'm asking for clarity, and like, I go out to hug her, man, and I come behind her, and I hug her, and I feel something in her jacket. And I'm like, what is this? And we're struggling, and then, you know, it was a substance. You know? And I sat down, like, it wasn't no arguing, it wasn't no hollering. Like, God gave me a little bit of strength in that situation. And was like, look, I love you. Like, I want to be with you. I married you. I want to be with you for the rest of my life. We have children. We have a home. We have two homes. We have a good life. But if you keep using, I can't. And I'm at the point where I can't do this. Like, this is that place where I got to make a decision. Because, like, you know, it started out like, you know, I would look at her and I could hear it. I could hear this shit in her voice. I can hear opiates, man. I'm so tuned in as an addict. I can hear you high. I ain't even gotta see you and shit. My disease is still active and shit. It's still like trying to look for a loophole. And I hear that shit on the phone. I'm like, come on, what's going on? What do you mean? You know, and all that. And when I'm around her, I'm looking at it, and I know you're high. And at first it was like real clear, right? Well, this shit been going on for a year and a half or something like that. And now when I'm looking, and I'm scared to even confront you because I don't want to hear all that shit. I don't want to hear the truth. And I already know it. And I'm like, so now my disease has got me guessing myself. You know? And I'm like, are you using? No, I'm not using. Yeah, she ain't using. But before it was real clear, because I'm staying in the mess. I'm staying in the craziness, the insanity and shit. Can't do that. So I know, man. I know that I'm getting to that place. And like my sponsor, I appreciate him. He said, dude, I'll never tell you to leave your wife. But he said, you know, you got to take care of you too. I need direction now more than I have in a long ass time. That's why I'm staying this weekend with about 15 recovering addicts in a condo. We cracking jokes. Last night I was at the pre-party. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing it. And this is what we do, man. I don't got to use. All I got to do is be honest and let the fellowship guide me and love me. That's all I got to do. You ain't got to use no matter what. I proved that to myself when I didn't pick a drug up. Yesterday was my clean day. 16 years, a day at a time. Days today. A day at a time. Newcomer, don't let that get you fucked up. Like, I'll never get that. I wasn't trying to get that. I still ain't. I don't never say to myself, I'm going to get 30 years. I don't think like that. I just think like, I got to stay clean today. And then the day, and it happens, and then there's tomorrow. And all I know is I ain't got to use no matter what. It says we suffer from disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point. But it ain't going to get arrested if I don't do the work. I never got arrested for not doing shit. Whenever I got arrested, I did some shit to get arrested. I don't know your story. I ain't got that story. I was, you know, I had that story over the jail. What you in there for? Man, them motherfuckers, you know, they, yeah. Nah, I always did what the hell. Most of the time they had it right there in their teeth. It can be arrested. And then recovery is then possible. So it happens through that surrender in the first step. Not the resignation. You know, because you know, I remember I resigned from this job, but I was still trying to run shit from a distance. You know, they talk about what's the difference between resignation and surrender in the first step. I resigned from a job, right, and was still attached to the shit and was still making moves and didn't even work there no more. Because they didn't take all that shit from me that they should have took. They gave me the opportunity to be able to still make moves from the outside. You know? So then the next part of this pamphlet is how it works. And how much time? 10 minutes. Yeah, I ain't about to do that. I ain't about to go through the steps. But anyway, for the newcomer, man, what I know is I had to come in here. This time when I came back, I didn't ask questions, Peter. And I still don't for the most part. Like, you know, my sponsor gave me an assignment. First thing I'm thinking, like, man, I ain't doing this shit. This ain't like something I'm used to. You know? That was my first thought. But that wasn't my action, though. Now my action is, yo, what you tell me to do, I'm doing, because I trust the process. And it worked. Today was a great day, man. I woke up, I knew I was sharing. I didn't allow the disease to, like, oh my God, what are you fucking gonna say? What are you gonna do? You know that. I'm just gonna be honest. That's what I'm gonna say, that's what I'm gonna do. You know, however it comes out, because if I'm true to me, then when you share from your heart, it reaches a heart. So I know somebody's going to be touched. Not everybody. Somebody's hating. Somebody wants to get the fuck out of here. Somebody's still sitting here because it's me sharing. And if I see them get up and leave, they're going to think, what's he going to, If we just stay clean this whole weekend, we made it through the convention. And it's going to be like thousands of addicts here, man. Like the main speaker room is going to be full and the overflow room is going to be full. And some people's going to be looking in the doors. And some people are going to be outside, but we're going to be, hopefully we're staying clean.
Yeah.
You know, because of the surrender in the first step.
Yeah.
Talking to a sponsor yesterday, man. He called me up. He likes to fucking complain, the bitch. And I'm like fucking tired of it, man. I'm like, yo, do me a favor, man. Before you call me, just try to figure out what I would tell you. You know what I mean? Sean, don't. Cut it out, Sean. Just, you know. And like, I said, dude, the first three steps work together. It's a solution-orientated process, man. I identify the problem in the first step, I seek help in the second step, and I'm turning it over in the third step. And I let it go. Can I let it go, though? Remember the old topic, letting go of claw marks and shit? They just had the shirt with the fingernails and the blood hanging down. That's how I usually let go. And then don't be scared of a searching and fearless moral inventory, because by the time you get to four, you got three. And two and one. So I got a family. I've never been scared of the steps. I want the steps. And I wanted them and I still do want them. Because they're a solution, a survival kit, and a defense. And I need that. You know, and for me, like 4, 5, 6, and 7 kind of work together. You know? I look at who I am in 4 and I tell somebody else and guide myself about it. Without being, you know, a searching and fearless. That's the hit, though. Can I get real? You know, can I talk about me? And you know what? We was doing a 4-step at the house after eating breakfast this morning, man. You know, dude said that 70% of men in Narcotics Anonymous have had a homosexual-type relationship of some type. Oh, shit. I don't know if them stats are true, but the guy said that. I know what I did to get one, though. I know what I did to get one, and I'm sharing this for the guy that ain't said nothing yet about that. And thinking that shit still got you. Don't let the disease trap you and corner you and get you back up. Yeah, I let a dude do what he did to me. Shit. And if I use it, it might do worse. It didn't progress to that point. I was incarcerated and was ready to let a motherfucker do it. So I know I got shit going on. Locked up for a couple years, that hot water hitting, and he kept coming in the shower every time I was in there. I was like, boy, you better get your shit together. Shit you don't want. I'm an open book. I don't give a fuck, man. Half y'all don't even know me. Half y'all hate me, and the other half loves me no matter what because of this program. So it don't matter to me, man. You know, and then 6 and 7, man, just becoming aware, that willingness again. And guess what? Who can't remove the shortcoming? Me. Guess who can? God. But guess who always tries to? Me. Until I get that ass whooping. I'm with y'all that say. You know, but like the pain, man, of them defects and them shortcomings when they back me into that corner. And you know, I went to the best 8-step meeting I ever been to in my whole life, man. A meeting in Baltimore, Promises Freedom, Lexington and Monroe, right up in the gauntlet, baby. I mean, I was like, shit, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep coming up here when it gets hot, because God damn. It's a highly infested drug area with normal gun activity going on and shit. Ain't nothing to hear gunshots. I'm like, I'm going to have to park like right there and run in the damn meeting. Run back out. It was the best meeting ever. Father Sam shared. I mean, it was banging, man. Just get myself prepared in that 8-step. Write that list like there is no 9-step. And guess who goes on there too? Me. Me. You know what I mean? And the condition of my heart starts to change when I forgive myself. You know? And then making those amends, which is a behavioral process. It ain't I'm sorry.
Right.
Done said I'm sorry a whole goddamn lot. They're tired of hearing that shit.
Yeah.
I was taught that if you stole the TV, you buy another TV and take it back. I'm sorry for stealing your TV. All right, so they sitting there without a TV, but you're sorry. What the fuck just happened? I'm sorry for stealing your TV. Here's a new one of equal or better value.
Right.
Now they can watch TV again. And it'll hit me better. You know, and then this process continues, you know, inventory in the 10th step, being aware.
Yeah.
Being aware of me. Not wanting to have to do a 9-step again. Right? So I'm a little bit more cautious, man. And whatever's going on with my wife, I ain't looking. My disease tried to open the crack that door a little bit. Yo, she's fucking up. Here's your opportunity to go get you one, not a drug. You understand what I'm saying? Because you got, you know the checks and balances shit, that leverage. Well, you're doing this, I can do that. Who's right, who's wrong? I made a commitment to have integrity. So it ain't even about you. It's about if the relationship ever did it, and what was my part? What did I do? Can I say to myself, Frank, you did everything humanly possible. And that's what I want to be able to do, and I'm going to. With his help and your help. And, you know, I was able to practice the 11th step, man, when I moved to Tennessee, man, for real. I had a 12-step working knowledge, but never truly meditated. Ain't that some shit? I didn't have the patience to sit still for more than 2 minutes. Can't meditate on Facebook. Meditate with my phone out and shit. I'm meditating. No, you ain't. You're looking at Facebook, Frank. So I had to put all distractions away. And guess what happened? Just like the 11th step talks about, that subtle confidence. The thing I talked about with Brian today that I feel like I'm lacking. Right? That subtle confidence, man. What God can give me that you can or nobody else can. Because only God can give me that. Because it's true. It's a true confidence at this point, man. And I don't want to lose that. And I felt myself starting to lose it. And that's why I got earnest about it today. And then carrying the message in 12. What? Sitting up here talking and shit? Making y'all laugh? No. The fuck am I doing when I leave here when that newcomer girl comes up? I love what you had to say. It was great. Can I give you a hug? And you... And you don't see me because we're down the end of the hallway. And I got an opportunity, so the disease will tell me. Carrying a message, what, with my mouth? No. How am I walking this program when I don't think you can see me? Because I gained integrity in the 11th step. So I'm sharing this shit, man. I'm trying to bust some reservations here today. this shit out there, man. You know, this ain't no, when you get asked to share, this ain't no job to be taken lightly. I'm disrespecting the fellowship when I'm running around acting like a motherfucking kid or something, man. Because I'm hitting the podium everywhere and shit. People know how I'm living. Because I sound good, you want to hear me and shit? No. I know ain't nobody perfect, but carrying the message, man, is like, I respect this message. It saved my life. I'm an addict, that's why I did it. Hell no, them days are over. Blame that shit on I'm an addict no more. Because I got 12 steps, so how can I say that? I'm a victim. No, I ain't. I ain't a victim no more after the 8th step. 8th step alleviated victimism. What am I a victim to? No, I made a choice. Now if I can get up here and be man enough to say that, and I'm trying to surround myself with men that live the program.
Yes.
You know? That's what I try to do. You know, so I appreciate everybody that, like, you know, came here to support me. Because I know a lot of people in this room did. That means something to me, man. You know, because we're fighting something that wants to fucking kill us, man.
Yes.
And I might need you. And you know who else I might need? The person I don't like. How many times you got liked by the motherfucker, helped by the motherfucker you didn't like 5 years ago? If you've been around here a minute. Because my picker's broke, man. I like you because of, you know, my perception of what you got going on and shit a lot of times. So, man, I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. It says, my gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others the NA way. So I'm just trying to live this thing, man. And I just hope that I maybe help somebody. I try to put everything out there, man, you know. And I want to enjoy, like, the fellowship of this convention. You know what I mean? Like, it's power in this shit, man. What if every one of us let loose and used right now? Ocean City be fucked up! Man, this wave would go from Ocean City to Philadelphia to Delaware to Baltimore to D.C. to Virginia and anywhere else and shit. Like a damn tsunami. So if you ain't used today, give yourself credit for that shit. Thank you for letting me share.